It is Friday, March 19th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
The pace of vaccinations is stepping up in the United States, but one group of holdouts, Republican men, now threaten the collective goal of reaching widespread immunity. Meanwhile, with his business empire on the ropes and his social media accounts suspended, Donald Trump has more urgent and costly problems to worry about. Since losing the White House, he's become a magnet for legal actions, both civil and criminal. Lastly, Seattle got sued by big business after passing a measure mandating pandemic hazard pay increases for workers at large grocery chains. Now a federal court has ruled in favor of the city and those essential workers.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
With the U.S. closing in on President Joe Biden's goal of injecting 100 million coronavirus vaccinations, officials announced yesterday the nation is now in position to help supply neighbors Canada and Mexico, according to the AP. The Biden administration announced the outlines of a plan to loan vaccines to Canada and Mexico, even as the president announced that the U.S. is on the cusp of meeting his 100-day injection goal today. The U.S. is injecting an average of about 2.2 million doses each day. The pace of vaccination is likely to dramatically rise later this month in conjunction with an expected surge in supply. Meanwhile, The Washington Post reports that Mississippi on Tuesday joined Alaska in making the vaccines available to all residents age 16 and older. A number of individual counties from Arizona to North Carolina have also beckoned everyone to make appointments. These places offer the rest of the country a glimpse of the future. Some residents are thrilled to have the chance to be inoculated, but many other people are holding back, spotlighting challenges related to equity, access, and trust that could complicate the quest to reach the high levels of immunity needed to stop the virus's spread. Nirav Shah, director of Maine's Center for Disease Control and Prevention, told the Post he's been hearing from colleagues across the country that they're starting to see appointments go unfilled. Polling suggests rural residents and Republicans are among the least likely to get in line for a coronavirus vaccine. A recent NPR PBS survey found white Republicans were more hesitant than any other subset of the population. Republican men were especially disinclined, with 49% saying they don't plan to get vaccinated. What can you say, except stupid is as stupid does. The update on the legal woes of a certain former Twitter user comes from the Washington Post. The district attorney is sifting through millions of pages of his tax records. The state attorney general has subpoenaed his lawyers, his bankers, his chief financial officer, even one of his sons. And that's just in New York. Donald Trump is also facing criminal investigations in Georgia and the District of Columbia related to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. And Trump must defend himself against a growing raft of lawsuits. 29 are pending at last count. No charges have been filed against Trump in any of these investigations. The outcome of these lawsuits is uncertain, but the sheer volume of these legal problems indicates that after a moment of maximum invincibility in the White House, Trump has fallen to a point of historic vulnerability before the law. Post identified six ongoing investigations that could involve Trump. Of the investigations, the broadest appear to be the two in New York. A criminal probe begun by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. in 2018, and a separate civil inquiry begun by State Attorney General Letitia James in 2019. In addition, Trump faces three probes related to his efforts to overturn his loss to President Biden. Two are in Georgia, where Trump, in a phone call, pressured Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to find enough votes to let him win. In Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine has also opened a criminal investigation into Trump's actions on January 6th, when his supporters sacked the Capitol. Among the 29 lawsuits Trump is facing, about 18 result from disputes with his properties. The rest seem to have been brought on by his presidency. This may sound bad, but he's getting off very, very easy.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
There's some news about a legal victory for workers on the left coast. federal judge has dismissed a grocery industry lawsuit that sought to block Seattle's new law granting a $4 an hour raises to grocery store workers for the duration of the coronavirus pandemic. This according to the Seattle Times. The law applies to large grocers, those with more than 500 employees worldwide, and stores larger than 10,000 square feet in Seattle. It mandates a $4 an hour pay boost for all workers in retail locations. And that pay boost may remain in effect for as long as Seattle remains in a declared civil emergency. The city council passed the wage hike law unanimously in late January, according to the Times, after advocacy from the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 21. Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, whose office defended the law, said, quote, "This is a big win for the grocery store employees who have been critical and vulnerable frontline workers since the start of the pandemic," end quote. The lawsuit, filed in U.S. District Court in Seattle, alleged that the city's law interferes with the collective bargaining process between grocery stores and unions and also picks winners and losers by singling out large grocery companies. Holmes countered that the law is well within the city's purview of protecting workers and regulating businesses. Other cities, mostly along the West Coast, including Los Angeles, Berkeley, and Long Beach, California, have also recently forwarded or approved similar hazard pay boosts for grocery workers, this according to the Times. Seattle has made several efforts to boost the pay of lower-wage essential workers who are often far more exposed to the virus than higher-wage office workers, many of whom have shifted to remote work. These are good ideas that more cities should copy, especially now that there's court precedent behind them.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Senate approved William Burns yesterday as director of the CIA, the New York Times reports. Burns was approved by unanimous consent in the Senate. Former ambassador in Russia and Jordan and a senior State Department official, Burns, 64, is the only career diplomat chosen to lead the CIA. Now he's just another old white spy. Republican Representative Chip Roy of Texas said he had no apologies to make after he made what appeared to be a pro-lynching remark during a congressional hearing on combating anti-Asian American violence, according to NBC News. In a tirade about free speech, Roy said Congress should, quote, "find all the rope in Texas and get a tall oak tree," end quote. In response, New York Democratic Representative Grace Meng said such rhetoric put a, quote, "bullseye on the back of Asian Americans across this country," end quote. Indeed. ProPublica reports that 9 months after racial justice protests swept across New York City and videos showed police punching, kicking, and trapping demonstrators, the city agency responsible for investigating abuses has revealed the number of officers who have so far faced serious disciplinary charges. Two. One involved an officer who flashed a white power sign, and the other concerned an officer who hit a protester with a baton. Tanzania President John Magufuli, one of Africa's most prominent COVID-19 deniers, has died after a two-week absence from public life that prompted speculation that he had contracted the disease, The Guardian reports. He was 61. Magufuli denied the spread of COVID-19 in Tanzania and claimed vaccines were dangerous, suggesting instead that people pray and inhale herb-infused steam. Well, I guess at least it was not bleach injections. Trust the science, folks.
Quicker quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us live today at noon for the majority report or later wherever your podcasts are served.